Amen. If you would, join me in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this great day. As Jason said, it's just a great day to come and worship you. Many might be traveling, Lord. We pray your traveling mercies will be with them. As we talk about mercy here today and what that means in our lives as we share as your agents of mercy. Lord, thank you for the music, the message, the love, and the fellowship that we feel right here. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sneak by. Jason, where'd you get that red shirt?
They were handing them out.
Handing them out. Free shirts. Well, I'm going to invite some folks that you've been praying for. I hope you've been praying for them this week. And the prayers were answered in a great way. And Bill, I want to say thanks to you for doing a commissioning service last week for our mission team. But the mission team folks, come on up here, man. I'm going to ask a couple of them some questions. Are they okay coming up? Yeah, here they're slowly. I'm just glad they're here. This is after a mission trip. Many times, everybody kind of just takes it easy. Where's Jason? He's Jason's a little nervous in front of a crowd. That's what it is. He's a little. So, first of all, I've asked a couple of our seniors who went on the trip maybe to share a little bit. And Thomas and Lauren are up here with us. As a matter of fact, give these guys a hand for the work they did this week. You'll hear about it in the message a little bit, too. But Thomas, as you look back on the week, what was one of the most fun aspects, or maybe even if you want to add in some of the spiritual lessons you learned during the week?
It was really cool seeing God impact a bunch of kids my age going through the same struggles, same issues day to day, seeing it work through them and them changing where they came from at the beginning of the week to the end of the week. It really, really hit me home.
Yeah, what was the most fun for you? That's a good question.
Seeing you play volleyball.
Seeing me play volleyball. You know when they say, you eat a sandwich, you can also just eat sand.
Yeah,
that's right. So, matter of fact, let me say this before he hands the mic over to Lauren. This group that travels around the country, there are probably 20 locations, maybe more, where they have mission feuds, centrifuge, and they have a huge video and sound production board. It's just monstrous. Thomas went back and watched a little bit, learned back in the back there. He does it here every week. And so at the last session, tell them what happened for the group there.
The pastor wanted them all to come up and celebrate their work for the week, and they needed someone to do the slides, so they had asked me to run the slides for the last two songs, which was very humbling, very cool that I've been doing this long enough for people to just let me come up and know me for 4 days and like run this for me. That's awesome.
And then Joe, this was exciting. Yeah, give him a hand if you want to. This was exciting because, you know, Joe, we get him stuff way ahead of time, right, Joe? Yeah. And depends on who's speaking, yes. But they got up there, had an applause for an encore, and everybody's hollering, one more song, one more song. Thomas is back there by himself.
I had no idea what the song was.
They started the song, and what happened?
It was the song, luckily, and I was able to.
He knew the song, he found it, and brought it up on
it. It was one of the songs my dad plays, too, so I was even more comfortable doing it. Yeah.
There you go. So let's pass it down to Lauren, and Lauren, another graduate now. And Lauren, tell us a little bit about what your favorite parts of camp or what God spoke to you about.
My favorite part was seeing how many, there were two girls that gave their lives to Christ by the end of it. One of them who did give their life to Christ, her mom made her come in the beginning. And seeing her go from that to giving her life entirely to Christ is amazing. That was probably my favorite part.
So now, are you showed a little interest in maybe doing this in the future or something. You want to say anything about that? Is that okay?
Well, I definitely want to be like a chaperone next year, but I also heard about you can like go overseas and do that too. So I might look into that and think about doing that as well.
How about that? Well, so thank you again, folks. Give them a big hand. And you guys can have a seat next week. You guys, as you sit down, we're going to have a video. We have two videos. One, I'm not sure when we'll show these, Charles, because I know as Baptists we don't like to change anything, right? Yeah. So, but we have one video that is one that we did ourselves, and each of the students kind of says a thank you to everybody. And then another one that's put on, the camp actually produces, and we'll try to get that up on the website as well. So thank you again for your prayers and your love for that group. We next year have already signed up for, we took 13 this year. We've signed up to take 25 next year. So we're hoping, and I believe might even have to add to that, because it is an exciting event and a great event for everybody. So Pastor Kevin he's going to be out from work a couple days, hurt his back, and Libby's here. And so we're glad she's here, and she's going to be preaching this morning. No, that's not. Why are they laughing? I don't know why some of it's. So, I get the honor of doing it. Now, here's what's really neat. This is the fifth part of a series that Pastor Kevin's doing on mercy, changing the world with mercy. And today is about being an agent of mercy in the world. Guess what these folks just did? They were agents of mercy in a mission trip, and that's going to be sprinkled in throughout the message. And so you think about this a minute, thinking about being an agent of mercy in the world. So a couple of words jump out. Agent. What's an agent? That's a great word, right? Agent, I looked up, there were 26 definitions for the word agent. If I said all of them, we'd be saying the benediction and going home, right? But really and truly, let's think of it this way. One who makes a change, one who is active and doing things on behalf of someone else. Now, you are an agent. You don't realize this. There are many types of agents. But you and I, we are agents of God. I think with the word ambassador, you know, all missionaries, like we talked about. What are the types of agents we talk about? You got real estate agents, right? We got sports agents, talent agents, music agents, secret agents. That's a good one. FBI agents, warehouse agents. I could go on and on. I found kind of agents. An air export agent, rental car agents, insurance agent, going on and on. What about agents of mercy? That's what we're called to do. Who are some of the most famous agents? I think of like the secret spies, right? Peter Parker, that's kind of the younger group here. Sherlock Holmes, James Bond, Maxwell Smart. If somebody remember Maxwell Smart from the show Get Smart? Jason Bourne, that's kind of a newer one. Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys, Dick Tracy. There's an old school. How about MacGyver? All these agents. What about us? Are we agents? Let's look at this first verse here as we think about what it means to be an agent of mercy and an agent for God. And I tell you, we had a great speaker this week. And it was like he would just see a picture of what the Bible was about. He'd launch it, and then he'd tell us there'd be an Old Testament passage. We'd look at an Old Testament character. And then we would jump into the New Testament and look at Jesus and how he related to that Old Testament character. So we're going to launch on one verse here that's going to give us a challenge. And it's in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. It says this, "You shall be my witnesses." Right here in my hand, let me see if I can hold this up. Irene, you can probably tell them what this is. Summons for jury duty. My wife and I both got one the same day. What's up with that? So hers is a little bit different. She had to call in and all this stuff. I called them up and they said, just bring this with you. So does that mean I'm going to be a witness in this trial? No. And God has called us to be a witness. He didn't call us to be the prosecuting attorney. He didn't call us to be the DA or the judge, certainly not, to be a witness. Basically, all the witness does is walk in and tell what they saw. That's what we're called to do. You are not responsible for the ultimate verdict in a person's life, whether or not they receive Christ, but you are responsible to share Christ. And from there, and you need to tell the truth about Christ. Here's who he is, here's what he stands for, here's what the Bible teaches. Some people will reject it. Many will reject it. Some will receive it. And that's what we're talking about, being witnesses for Christ. That's how we show mercy. What is mercy? The last four messages in this series have talked about mercy, but mercy is this. It's compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within your power to punish that person. That's true mercy. We are representatives of God in his mercy because he's able to wipe us all out. But what has he chosen to do? To share his love and salvation and grace with each of us. So let's dive into this about how to be agents of mercy. We're going to talk about six ways that we can be agents of mercy. I had a friend, and I don't know how this happened. His name is Steve. He went from being a youth minister to being an FBI agent. Okay? I don't know. Maybe there's some similarities there. I'm not sure. But he went from being a youth pastor to being an FBI agent. He still taught in his church and did those things. Matter of fact, he's probably friends with Ronnie Kendall, your pastor, there in Loganville. Matter of fact, the mission trip people, you remember the Summit Baptist Church from Loganville? Our friends right here are from Loganville and with us here today. So glad you're with us. What if we went to Quantico, the training place, to be FBI agents? I'm sure there's a lot of things you go through. Physical training, emotional training, rules, guidelines, the law, all of these things. And so we're looking today at how do we become commissioned agents for God and his mercy. I'm going to give you six ways to do it. And you may want to pick out one or two of these to really work on, but here we go. Number one, look for people in a crisis and listen to them. Look for people in a crisis and listen to them. Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, to listen to those in crisis. I've said this many times, and I apologize if you've heard it many times, but the character in China for crisis are there are two parts, danger and opportunity. Crisis. When you come through a crisis, there's an opportunity to turn to God. There's a danger in there, but it's an opportunity to turn to God. Let me mention three names for you. A little girl named Madison we ran into this week. Madison, when she got there the first day, all I saw was one of the kids carrying her up the hill, trying to help her up this hill where we were having our recreation time. She got to the top, and she said, my mom and my I think it was her brother, and she were in a car wreck 2 days before. Her aunt was driving, that's right. Her aunt was driving. Her younger sibling, was also in the car. She was thrown from the car. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that happens these days with you're supposed to have seat belts on and all that. And she was there at this mission trip site to come out and meet us. She was hurt badly. Her brother or sister had a broken leg. And then she began to keep talking and said, yeah, my mom is in prison. And she said, my mom will be out on December 20th with a big smile on her face. As we began to listen, we were just listening. And she said, my birthday is December 7th. I said, man, what a great birthday gift for your mom to be able to come home. And a Christmas present. We simply listened to this little girl, and our hearts were touched. And I believe hers was as well. Then there's a guy named Caden. Caden's, I noticed him because, Jason, he was throwing with his left hand. I said, man, you could be a pitcher. You could be a baseball pitcher or a quarterback, baseball pitcher. You're left-handed. So we began to talk, and we threw the ball back and forth, back and forth. And it was one of those little dodgeballs, you know, you throw it back and forth. And I asked him about some things. What grade are you in? He says, I'm in fourth, but I should be in fifth because I'm dyslexic. I said, well, in your school, do you have somebody that works with you? He said, no, I'm in online school. I said, okay, no real helper there for him. I said, do you go to church? Now listen to this. This is so cool. Now this is the language that you hear from people that do not go to church. He said, yeah, I've been to the recital a few times. He thinks of this right here is a recital. I think that's a cool way to put it maybe, but this is the recital. Then he said, then I went to children's church, and all they did was color, and so I didn't like it. I don't like to draw. And so he hadn't been back. I said, well, I'll tell you what, do you have a Bible? No. Would you like a Bible? He said, I can't read. He said, however, he said, I think my grandmother would read it to me. I said, all right, tomorrow we're going to have a Bible for you. So the next day we come, we brought a Bible. It's one of those children's picture Bibles. It has the story, but a lot of pictures. And gave it to him. Every person in our group, we had 30 people in our group, all the students and adults that were helping out, even some of the staff who came out from the Lifeway folks came out. And we all signed that Bible and gave it to Caden. Caden took it home that night. There was another little girl, the girl who told the Bible story that day. I think she told, let's see, was it about Jonah? The first day, she told the story of Jonah. She held up the picture of the big fish. It showed Jonah inside the fish with the ribs, you know, around it. And the kids were all enthralled. This is the story. And all of a sudden, we finished, and a little girl named Kaja, runs over and grabs it and starts looking at it. And so here we go. I said, Kaja, would you like a Bible? Yep. So same thing the next day. So next day we come in, we have the Bible. Now here's what's important. The next day we get in there and we have the Bible, and the Bible study leader named Crystal, beautiful young lady, she says, I'm going to tell the story about Noah and the flood. Caden raises his hand and says, that's the second story in my Bible. He's already been reading. His mom, his grandmother, reading the Bible to him. It all starts with just listening, finding out. And you're going to hear more in a minute how we find those things that people need by listening. There's a great little poem. I think Kevin shared this before. It says, somebody was a great listener. It says, his thoughts were slow and his words were few, and he never formed them to glisten. But he was a joy to all his friends. You should have heard him listen. Great little poem. Number two, look for people with unmet needs and help them. Look for people with unmet needs and help them. What did we just hear? Do you have a Bible? No, I need. Would you like one? The folks at the camp were fantastic. Every day they brought a Bible to give away. Romans chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. Now, we don't always study out of the message, but many times it's a paraphrase that makes it easy to understand. And I love the way it says what it says here in these verses. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles. And here it comes. He waded right in and helped out. Jesus is always our example. Always our example. Now, when you start thinking about, like I said this week, we looked at Old Testament character. We looked at Adam. We thought, Jesus, there's similarities, a lot of comparisons. And we looked at Joseph in the Old Testament. Jesus. We looked at, who do we look at next there? Abraham. Yeah, I can't remember Abraham. Over here. We looked at Esther. Jesus. All those things in the Old Testament, those characters lead us to Jesus Christ. And you can say it right here in Romans. He's our example in how we treat other people. Finding unmet needs and help them. There was a guy named Sean. He had a cranky neighbor. Anybody got a cranky? Oh, don't. You might have neighbors here. I'm sorry. Better not ask that question, Jason. Sean had a cranky neighbor. I had a cranky neighbor once upon a time. I don't think he's around anymore, but a dog went through his yard. He threw a rock at the dog, broke his windshield, broke his own windshield. That's cranky. Yeah, I'm sure he was still cranky after that, yeah. So this guy, his neighbor, just would never talk to him. He tried to invite him to church and all this. And one day he found out his neighbor, Sean's neighbor, was in the hospital. The yard began to overgrow. The leaves were coming out of the gutter. So he got a ladder and he got a few other things, and he fixed up his yard and his gutter. When the guy got back out of the hospital, he looked around and saw what had been done. He went to Sean and he said, "You know, I guess this stuff that you talk about God is real. And I suppose maybe I should go to church with you one week." You see what it took for him to get him to church? Doing some things to just show love, finding an unmet need and helping. Later, his neighbor was saved, baptized, and regularly attended church with him. It all began by finding a need and meeting it. Number three, look for people who are grieving and comfort them. Look for people who are grieving and comfort them. God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others who are in trouble with the same comfort that we ourselves receive from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 basically says when you go through a tough time, look for other people who are going through the same thing and help them out. You know, you don't have to go through, and you don't have to be an alcoholic to help an alcoholic. You don't have to go through divorce to help somebody in divorce. But there are things that each of us goes through, and there are pains in our life where we can help others who are going through the same thing. One of the big things that, well, we've had a couple here in Charleston, you know, the AME shooting. The Sofa Superstore is the one I wrote down here, too, because we had 9 firefighters who died. That's coming up, I think, on a couple of both of these things are coming up anniversary-wise. But we were in camp in Tennessee when that happened. And the softball team that I played on had 3 or 4 guys that played that were firemen. And so I got in touch. Finally, the next morning, we heard about what had happened. We were way up in the mountains. And I called the wife of one of these firemen and talked with her. And before I got on the phone, and it was one of those moments, I had it happen this week at camp too, where you just get choked up and you can't talk. And it turned out as she talked to me about how she did not know where her husband was from like 11 o'clock at night until 6 a.m. They knew that men had died, that firefighters had died in the fire. And she couldn't get in touch with him. And at 6 a.m., finally, she made contact with him to find out he was okay, but what had happened to the others. On that phone that day, as I tried to reach out and comfort someone who was grieving, she ended up being the one that comforted me. And that's how it happens sometimes. You reach out to people who are hurting, that are grieving. God never wastes a pain in your life. You can always help others. The last couple weeks, I've had 4 funerals. And I know, Charles, you've probably had weeks like that where you just had multiple times where you were working with folks who are grieving. And it's tough. There are a lot of cliches that people say, but the number one thing you can do when someone is grieving is just be there. I remember the principal at James Island Middle School, when it was called that, had a young man, 6th grader, who was gravely injured in a fire. He ended up dying. And the principal, who was a Marine, called me up and he said, "John, I have no idea what to say when I go to the hospital." And I said, "You don't have to say a thing. When you show up, that will mean so much." Over and over again, just to be there. I had my grandfather passed away. I worked in a church 60 miles away in Morristown, Tennessee. Well, White Pine, Tennessee, right by Morristown. We were up in Kentucky at the funeral. I looked up, and there was the pastor and one of the deacons coming over to just put their arm around me and say, "Hey, we know it's tough. Didn't say any more than that, but they showed up. If you can be there with people who are grieving, you say, well, where do I find people who are grieving? They're all around us. They're all around us, folks. Things that you can say, instead of all the cliches of, you know, that sometimes make it, you know, I know how you're feeling. Well, maybe not. But maybe just say things like, hey, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for your loss. How did this make you feel? I'm thinking right now that you're hurting beyond words. You may be feeling like this is a bad dream or you're in shock, and that's okay. It's okay to feel that way. And then later on at some point when you're with them, ask them to tell you a great story about their loved one. Ask them to share one of their great memories. That helps. That helps. Number four, look for people needing friends and show hospitality. Hospitality. Well, we had the weddings yesterday, didn't we? We had Andrew's wedding right here. We had I had one in Savannah, like in the afternoon, and one in Mount Pleasant in the Ion subdivision. Anybody know where that is? That's an interesting place. Some of the greatest names of streets ever. I want to give you a couple. There's Perseverance Street. You know, I love Affirmation Boulevard. Miss Kathy Baggett lives on Affirmation. That's here. Now, there's one on the other side called Downer. I don't know. Does anybody live on Downer Street? I'm sorry. Affirmation Boulevard, that's a great one. Perseverance Street, Grace Lane, nice one. How about this one? Isle of Hope Road. But here's the one I really saw. I said Hospitality Street. There's a street over there called Hospitality Street. And look what Romans 12 says. Look for opportunities to be hospitable. Look for opportunities to have people come in and dine with you, spend time with you. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have them at your house. Some people love to have people over to their house and eat with them. Maybe you say, hey, let's go do breakfast. You know, I love, there's a couple of spots I love going to for breakfast or lunch, whatever. But just having that moment of saying, hey, let's get together. We'll sit down and we'll have something to eat. And there's something about breaking bread together and that hospitality that means a lot. Now, there's a difference between hospitality and entertainment. Let me explain this. This is kind of interesting as you look at spiritual gifts. The difference between entertaining and hospitality. Now, somebody can have fun being entertained, but with hospitality, they feel comfortable. There's a comfort level that is just, you can feel it. Help people feel welcomed and warm in your home, out to eat, and most importantly, right here. This is a home for us as Christians to welcome others, to make them feel welcome. Now, that doesn't mean we change the message. No, we don't change the message. The message is it. I mean, the Bible's our message, right? However, we can put an arm around somebody and say, hey, I'm so glad you're here. So glad you're here with us. Enjoy the music and the message. God speak to you. Matthew 25, Jesus is going through this long list of things that, you know, being fed, being clothed, in prison, he visited. He said, I was alone and you welcomed me and showed me hospitality. To go and visit someone, to spend time with people. Invite someone to join you for dinner, lunch, breakfast, as we said. Maybe there's a local spot that is special to you, and you can just have that little breakthrough conversation and talk about things. Number five, look for people needing a second chance and give it to them. 2 Corinthians 2:7. Kind of wraps that one up. When people sin, you should forgive and comfort them so they won't give up in despair. In golf, there's a little term. Anybody play golf out there? Like three of us? All right. Bill, what do you call it when you hit a bad shot and you get a second chance? Mulligan. Did you know that, Thomas? You didn't know that. Robert, you don't ever hit a mulligan, do you? Never. You know, that's the one great thing about golf. If you're not a pro, you hit that first tee shot and it goes off into the parking lot. I have broke, believe me, folks, I broke the windshield of a Cadillac up in North Carolina. And I had my shirt on that said, "Could it be Jesus?" or something. So I couldn't just walk away, you know. I was like, so hey, whose Cadillac is this? Yeah. And believe it or not, now this is good for the insurance agents. My homeowner's insurance paid for that guy's windshield. I'm on vacation in North Carolina. I don't want to talk anymore about that. But, yeah. Mulligan, second chance. We had people on our mission trip that needed mulligans. And we weren't playing golf. We had one fellow, he told Jason, I think, he told him he was 15 and he was born in 2005. Think about that a minute. There were some fibs going on, right? Some little stories here and there. We're not sure about all that, but you know what? There's just, you give folks a mulligan. Now, do you need to give adults the same thing? And teenagers, I'm talking to you. Sometimes adults mess up too. Give them a chance. Give them a chance to have that second chance when we make mistakes. Justice and mercy. Mercy, justice is kind of the partner with mercy, right? Justice is, hey, when somebody does something wrong, they pay the price. A merciful person dispenses justice differently than a harsh person, a boss, a parent, a teacher. Someone who can correct you while using mercy, you can refer to them as the velvet hammer. We had a secretary that was like that. We'd find a note after we had actually taken a pencil sharpener or stapler or something out of there, and she'd have a little note that says, "Kindly do not remove this from my office. Kindly." You felt lifted up even as you were corrected. Think about that in the Bible. Barnabas was a guy like that. Barnabas. You remember Barnabas was on a missionary journey with Paul, and Mark was with them. Mark left and went home. I don't know if he had a girlfriend or something. He went back home, and Paul said, "That's it. We're done with him. He's out." And Barnabas said, "I'll give him a second chance." And Mark wrote the first gospel. Chronologically, we believe it was the first gospel written. What if they both had just rejected him? You know, and said, "Hey, come on. Come on." But there is justice. When things are done wrong, sometimes we pay the price. But we do it in a way that uses God's grace, a mulligan. Last one, number 6. And this is the one I love. I love this one. Look for people who are rude and be kind to them. Wow. We had a lady in our church, Brenda Harris, was our education pastor up in Tennessee. And thing was, she said, she was talking to all the teachers, you know, all the workers, and saying, "All right, this year I want you to kiss a frog or a toad." I said, "What?" And it was obviously like an illustration. But she was saying, you're going to come in contact with people that just rub you the wrong way. Spend time with those folks. Show them love. Show those people how much you care. Now, at camp, Will, our pastor, he picked on a kid named Sheldon all week long. So, and it was great. It was a great communication style because he kept the audience or the congregation out there, the students, involved, because you never knew who's going to be next. And here's what happened. As he began to talk about different folks and different things that happened throughout the week, Sheldon was kind of lifted up. I want to do this as a middle school moment. One of the groups that I think we really need to reach out to are our middle schoolers. All right, we got Sammy. I see Hampton or Harley back here. Hampton's right here. Yes, Hampton. I apologize. Tell Harley I said. So we got Hampton, Sammy. Any other middle schoolers here with us this morning? So these two guys, I'm going to pick on you. Okay, you ready? You get to be picked on now. Sammy's excited. Well, last week, you know, a frog, if you're kissing a frog, supposedly they turn into a prince, right? So last week I closed out with a joke, and Jason just about fired me right there. It was like the frog joke. You remember the frog about the DNA? So many of you weren't here. I'll go ahead and share it with you again. Don't ever tell people you're going to tell a joke right before you tell a joke. Here it is. So they did the DNA on this frog. You know how you can do that on your animals, your dogs, your cats. And this particular frog was predominantly English, had a little bit of French, a little bit of German, and a tad Pole. So that was how the service ended last week. Yes, that was exciting. Yeah. So here's my question. Let's see. I'll ask Hampton this question. So Hampton, where do frogs like to eat? Where do frogs like to eat? IHOP. Yeah, that's. And Sammy, your turn. What kind of music do frogs like? You know, now figure this one out. I think you'll get it. It's not rock, it's not rap. Well, no, hip-hop. You know they like hip-hop. So, yeah. Well, there was a fly. One more, I promise. This is the last one. Charles, I had to do a couple, you know, just kind of. One more, last one. The fly said to the frog, "Time flies when you're having fun." The frog said to the fly, "Time's fun when you're having flies." There you go. 1 Peter 3:9. When you find rude people, be kind to them. There are rude people. I've 40 years of youth ministry, I've never asked a student to do something. They looked squarely in my face and said no. That's happened in the last year. No. Or you say something and, you know, used to be, sir or ma'am, like if you didn't know what they said. Now it's, what? But now I realize that's part of the culture. That's part of the culture, and we're trying to change it. One of the guys I spent time with this week is writing his doctor's degree on faith and culture. We spent a lot of time talking about that. We spent a lot of time talking about what teenagers are going through right now. You know it's different in Loganville, Georgia than it is here in Charleston? The problems they're facing in Loganville are different than what we're facing here in Charleston. Now, they're many of the same. It's sin, but there are different flavors of it. It's still sin, but there's different flavors in different parts of the country. When you find rude people, be kind to them. Don't look what it says in 1 Peter 3:9. Don't repay evil for evil. Never retaliate when people insult you or say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God wants you to do, and He will bless you for it. I can't say it any clearer than that. Our world today is full of random acts of violence and senseless acts of cruelty. But for us, we ought to be living in a world where there are random acts of kindness and senseless acts of mercy and love. My grandfather lived in a house for a while where he went to work, and everybody in the family had a lunchbox. And he noticed that the family members, their lunch was a little bit bigger than his. He had a little bit less food, and he kind of got mad about that. And I don't know who he talked to, but somebody told him, you know what you need to do? You need to kill him with love, with love. Kill him with love. Pretty soon, he had as much food as everybody else. Now, that's not why we do it, but to love others is what we're called to do. Hebrews 6:10, God will not forget the work you've done and the love you've shown Him by caring for and helping other people. I got a message this week, and I'll see if I can look it up real quick. We were sitting at camp, and I got a, you know, we didn't have the phones out a whole lot, but at this point it was really neat. I got a text message, and I didn't know. My dad tested positive this past week, 91 years old, test positive for COVID. And so I drove a car just in case I had to go on up there and see him during the week, but he's doing better. But I got this message from a fellow by the name of William Jakes. Libby will know who that is. If I can find it right here. William sends me a message. Apparently he looked online and saw that we were at Mission Fuge. And he sends me this message, and he says this: "Hey, JP, this is William Jakes. William is now a pastor in East Ridge, Tennessee. I'm with our students at Ridgecrest for Centrifuge and can't help but think about the impact that this place and that you have had on my life. Thanks for investing in me and so many students throughout the years." I was like, that blew me away. William Jakes, a kid that was in the youth group, he got in trouble just like everybody else, and now he's a pastor taking his kids to Centrifuge Camp. That's what it means to be an agent of mercy. And I'm going to tell this one for Jack over there. Jack, you're the big Clemson fan, right? He is the, I mean, if Steve Rogers would hear, he's the Gamecocks. They actually sit on the same pew sometimes. I don't know how they do it. But we were in this apartment complex where we're meeting all these kids I'm telling you about. And the next last day, a guy rides up in a motorcycle. Bright orange motorcycle. I said, must be a Clemson fan, right? And we're there in Pendleton, which is like, we drove through Clemson. They said, we started talking to him, brought up football. You ready for this? He says, see, Building A, we're in this huge complex. Building A, that's where DeAndre Hopkins grew up. Apparently, she's still there. And I'm thinking, these are the kids that we're telling, you could be a pitcher, you could be a football player, you can be a pastor, you can be a missionary. Guess what? Somebody must have come and done that for DeAndre Hopkins. He's now in the NFL playing for the Arizona Cardinals. National champion with the Clemson Tigers. And a star in that little complex. What about these kids right there? The mom won't move. She's staying. Grandma. So here it is, folks. Look for people in crisis and listen to them. Look for people with unmet needs and help them. Look for people who are grieving and comfort them. Look for people needing friends and show hospitality. Look for people needing a second chance and give it to them. Look for people who are rude and be kind to them. And that's the point of this message. Pick out one or two of those. I close with this. And I want us to be commissioned as agents of mercy. Bill prayed for us last week. I'm tempted to get him back up and pray for all of us, but we're gonna pray that we'll all be commissioned as agents of mercy. This ought to be a mercy agency right here. First grade, my teacher starts talking about how she had run into somebody, one of her students at the grocery. And she said, that kid was running up and down the aisles like a maniac. I'm looking around at the class. I wonder who that was. I bet you it was Jack over there. Or maybe it was Angie or Angela. I'm looking around the whole time. So I go home and I say, Mom, have we run into Miss Luella at the grocery store lately? Yeah, we saw her the other day. I went, you know, it was like a load of bricks. Pow. Don't ever look around thinking it's somebody else. God's speaking to us. All of us, right? To be agents of mercy. You think you got it all together. That's probably the worst possible thought. Because we've got ways to go. So today, we're going to pray that we will be commissioned as agents of mercy. When you go out of this place, get ready. God's going to put people in your path who are hurting, who need mercy. So get ready for that. Let's pray. Father, today as we have looked, lots of different scriptures talk about mercy and how we act upon it. Lord, there's so much application in this message of how to be your agents of mercy. Help us not to look around at anybody else, not to think about others, but think about how I can be better at what you've called me to do. I know I can improve. I know Jason and Charles, Kevin, we all can improve, and we can all be better agents of mercy. Help us to do that. And Lord, when we become critical and thinking it's somebody else's fault and it's and just running into rude people. Help us to be kind. Help us to give people a second chance, to show love and meet needs, and just to listen and grieve with those who are grieving. Lord, that's our calling. And Lord, I believe if everybody in this room today takes this seriously, next week we'll have many, many more people wanting to come and be a part of what's going on right here. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. Take our eyes off ourself and put our eyes on you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Now, if you look up here just a moment, a couple things that one of the great things that we do is just have a moment to remember what Jesus did on the cross. The only reason any of this is possible is because the cross and what Jesus did. He said, I want you to remember that in a special way. And that's what we have over here. We have a station there with the grape juice and the bread that is a reminder of Jesus' blood and his body that was broken for us. If you do that, I ask that you do it seriously. Don't just do it as another part of our time here together, but do it with a real reflection. How do I need to be an agent of mercy, Lord? Show me. Maybe you need to come bring up a need or a praise and put it on the cross. You can get the little piece of paper, fill it out, put it right over here. If you'd like to come down here and pray, our Connect card also has places you can put prayer requests. If you want to drop one in the box over here, there's one in the back. Good time you can put your offering into as you would like. Janine, Charles, and myself will all be down here at the front. If you want to come and pray, we encourage you to do that as well. Let this be a commissioning time for you as an agent of mercy. Jason. Woo! Hey, I'm just thrilled that Jason still has a voice after going to camp all week. That's just fantastic. So I don't know this for sure, Bill, but you might be able to tell me. If you're an FBI agent, you're an FBI agent all the time. In other words, once an agent of mercy, always an agent of mercy. It doesn't matter on Monday morning, Friday night, you're an agent of mercy. All right, remember that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the challenge to go from this place today and make a difference. To make a difference no matter where we are, to show love. I'm looking forward to meeting a rude person. So I can just show them kindness. Somebody that needs something, somebody is hurting, we can help them out. And we can show your love and just listen. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.